Well, we're thankful for Calvary, and we're remembering the cross tonight in the communion time. And mentioned to you this morning, just to be thinking about perhaps a testimony, as we have received much and now we've been praying, God, give us opportunities. Give us opportunities to build relationships with people around us in our daily lives, where we could just build a friendship. And then as God would open up doors, begin to share the good news of the relationship that others can have with God through Christ. And I'd like to take just a few moments tonight, if there would be some who would have a testimony. If you've had an opportunity to start to build that relationship with someone, it may or may not have led yet to being able to share the gospel, but it begins with a friendship. Tonight, the focus of our message in preparing our hearts for communion will be on having a ministering heart, a heart like Jesus. He came not to be ministered to, but he came to minister. He came to give of himself. And so kind of those twofold topics, if something would be on your heart, just of how God's been at work in your life, answered prayer, either in giving you an opportunity to build relationships, share in the exchange focus of communicating with others about Christ, or just on this topic of a ministering heart. Maybe you've been blessed because of somebody with a ministering heart who's come alongside and been an encouragement to you. Would there be anybody tonight that would just have a testimony of how God has been at work in your life? And while you're thinking about it, I'll just share one with you. I've shared a little bit of it, but it's ongoing, and ask you to continue to pray. Here, right after a time of bereavement, we had a phone call, and I shared with you, I believe, on last Sunday night. We had a young man call and say, I really want to come and talk to you. And we sat down, and just he was ready to accept Christ. I mean, his heart was already under conviction, and having just come through the exchange, it was a blessing just to kind of share that outline. We've been taught many approaches to sharing the gospel, share Jesus, the Romans road, but just kind of took him through that plan that we were taught there out of Scripture, the holiness of God, the justice of God, the grace of God, and the love of God. And he was just ready. Part of the joy of it now is you watch to see if there's a hunger to know more. And we've had 2 weeks now. We've met 2 weeks in a row and had a Bible study. We were meeting for breakfast once a week at a restaurant, and doing Bible study and having breakfast together. And Darrell French and I are meeting with him, and looking maybe this week we'll add a fourth person to that group. We have another young man that's very open to spiritual things that's in our SALT ministry here that has just newly come. And so looking to perhaps connect him into that Bible study. So that's been a praise. That's been an answer to prayer. I've had seasons in my life, as you'll experience in yours, where I am praying for people, and even praying specifically for people, and not seeing a lot of outward indication, knowing that God's at work in hearts, and just watching and waiting on God and looking to knock on the doors that God gives us to knock on. But this was a blessing that God actually brought someone across our path, and now seeing an ongoing interest in his life. Somebody else, have an opportunity just to either share the gospel or build a friendship or start in that relationship. Is there anybody tonight that would have a testimony? Yes, right back here.
One of my testimonies going to a secular college would be I made a friend with this one kid in my English class, and then he found out I was a Christian, and he didn't really think highly of Christians at that time. And I prayed for him, like you said, Pastor Dan, in the exchange thing. And I prayed for him every day. And then eventually one day we got back together again and started talking, and God answered my prayer. And we still talk every Wednesday. So maybe I could build a better relationship.
That is very encouraging. When you see specific change and softening in someone's heart and attitude, you know that's God. That's God at work. And God does that through prayer. So praise the Lord. That's very encouraging. Anybody else have a testimony of just where you're seeing God at work? Yes.
similar experience. By the way, pray for those who are, went through that exchange. It's a, because it's a battlefield going out there.
Yes.
Something that they mentioned in the seminar that has really impacted me is, he said he always would visualize unsaved people as having chains around them. Mm-hmm. And that's really burdened my heart for people I work near.
Mm-hmm.
I sit next to a lady named Lori, and I have tried to, you know, she knows I'm a Christian. I make that real clear and talk about the Lord in my church and have Bible verses out. So she knows I'm a Christian. But she's been very closed when I've given her anything, an invite. She doesn't say yes. She doesn't say no. She just folds it up, puts it away. It's like, whoa. So that's how she's been historically. But she's one of my five I've been praying for. But I haven't been able to really say anything to her. And I loaned John's book, I Am Strong, out to several friends and at work. And Jake, who I had discipled back a couple years ago, I loaned him the book. He read it, and he came back into our bay, and he was talking, and he was all excited about John's book, and we were just sharing together, and, you know, three or four of us, and Lori's sitting there listening to all that, doesn't say a word. Anyway, her husband is diabetic and about to go on dialysis. He's in his early 40s, and this is just a difficult time. I think that's one reason I've been so burdened for her, because I know the difficulties they're going to go through, and I know they don't know the Lord. And Lori said to me the other day, she said, "Diane, do you think I could borrow John's book?" And, of course, I was just blown away. It was the first openness she's had. And I said, "I think I could make that possible." And so we got her the book. And I shared with her then. I said, "Well, Lori," I said, "I know you're being a real rock in that family, and you're really trying to help your husband." And she says, "You know, he told me last night that he thinks God hates him." And can you imagine walking around with that in your heart, that God hates you? And I said, "Lori, you're doing such a great job in that home, and I'm just blown away by all that you do for them." But I said, "You're going to run out of grace. You're going to run out of strength. And you really need to have a relationship with God. And I would love to take you through a Bible study." She, again, closed up. So I wish you'd pray for Lori. Her husband's going to have the port put in April 22nd. He's very discouraged, and she's trying to be his encouragement for him, but she doesn't have a faith in God. And so I thank the Lord for, I see he's working, but pray for me, because it's easy to get discouraged and to get scared and to not know what to say. And so pray for those of us really trying to do this, because Satan doesn't mind if we know it in our head as long as we don't use it.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
I know he wants to stop us.
Mm-hmm.
If he can stop us from using it, he has a victory. So pray for Lori and Brad and for my opportunities.
And a lot of you know which John she's talking about. It happens to be her nephew, John Dickerson. Okay, a guy I know well. And he's written a book called I Am Strong. And it presents the gospel, and it's a good book for people going through suffering and difficulty. And so it presents the gospel, but also a lot of encouragement in it. So it's great to see God using that.
Tuesday, I was able to kind of break through with one of my parents that I've been coaching with their children. And it's little first and second graders. This girl's in first grade, and such a blessing to be a part of that. But anyway, this guy just so happened to be there at practice time about 5 o'clock. We don't start till 5:30. And it was me, him, and his daughter in there. And it was almost like the Lord's, you know, "Hey, this is a little bit obvious time for you to get some groundwork here." And basically, long story short, we were able to talk a lot about what we do here and talk surface level and a big part of his family and stuff. And we're going to further on and get together and have him over and then, again, connect my daughter with his daughter. And so I'm really looking forward to that. I appreciate your prayers for that as we continue, as we said, you know, thinking about people that we can come in contact with. And I know that's been a huge burden for me personally, is be able to find some people that don't know you, don't know the Lord, and again, talk to them about that. So, privileged to have be a part of that. So, thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Right in the back, Kathy.
This is not a testimony about the exchange, but I've got somebody sitting here telling me to get up and share it. Many of you over the years have prayed for my John, and I've prayed for many years that God would send my husband home because I don't know the guy I live with. And last Sunday, John called me from up north. He does a lot of musical stuff, as most of you know. And he's okay with me standing up because he stood up in Sunday school this morning. But he asked me to forgive him. He asked me if we could work on our marriage. And he told me he wanted to be the man God wanted him to be. And so for all of you that have prayed in our behalf over the last 7 to 10 years, I want to thank you. But most of all, I want to say we serve an awesome God because he says ye have not because ye ask not. And I started praying a year ago. I found a prayer marker on my way to work. And I praise God on my way home. I pray, God, would you draw my husband and my children back to you? And it's interesting. He said Monday when we were talking, he said, I just felt drawn. Amen. So don't give up praying. Put your request before the Lord because in his time he will answer it. So yes. We still covet your prayers. We have a long way to go. You know, I've been on my own for a lot of years, so that's a huge prayer request. But thank you all for praying and God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. What an encouragement to keep persevering in prayer. Ask and keep on asking. Back here.
I just want to really encourage, especially the teens that are here. This is our church family. There's a lot of teens in our school that I really do not believe they know the Lord as their personal Savior. They know in their head, but when you start talking to them, the priorities are different. They're not talking the same heart that we are. And I've had an opportunity to, because of the job I am, I get in for quite a few hours a day. So we get a lot of whatever you want to call it, talking in. And I just really want to keep encouraging the teens to reach out to the kids at school. There's a lot of them, and I know some of them already have. I've connected some of them. So I just want to encourage them to reach out to the teens there. I am, but I'm an adult, and the teens can reach teens a lot easier.
Amen. Amen.
I know that we've shared this testimony in Wednesday night prayer meeting, and I'd like to say that this lady was on my list, but she wasn't. Not that I haven't been praying for her in the hospital, but one of the ladies here in our church, a member of our church, her mother had surgery. And for some reason, this dear lady asked for my husband and for me to come and visit her in the nursing home. And we got there, spent 2 hours with her, and long story short, as we talked with her, Mike came down to the, would you like to pray and ask the Lord to be your Savior? And she said, yes, I would. Amen. And we had the privilege of praying with her.
Amen.
And we reached out and asked her if we could do a Bible study with her, but she's recuperating from some rough surgery, and she's just not ready for that. But I'm praying that she will allow us to do a Bible study with her just to help her to grow. But this lady's in her 70s, and what an excitement that was to see someone of that age come to know Christ.
Amen.
And really, she had been coming here for years to a lot of grandparents' days activities and a lot of programs, and had been viewing this ministry for a number of years, and she knew and could tell that we and her daughter had something different that she wanted. And she said all of her children had religion, and we were able to share with her the difference about the daughter here. Her daughter here has a relationship with Jesus Christ. And she said, I like that. And so just pray for growth for this. And she said, and I want that. So just pray for growth for this dear lady. I don't know that I'm at liberty to share who it is, but if you just remember to pray for this 70-some-year-old lady who just got saved.
Those are divine appointments that God brings our way. And yet taking the initiative to go to the nursing home and make that visit, wonderful that divine appointment was waiting there. Good. Anybody else had an opportunity just to see God at work? Going to talk to you a little bit tonight. Yes, go ahead, Lois.
I work out at 5 in the morning on Saturdays, and I've met this lady. She's a professor at Northwood, and I asked her if she knew Otis, and she started crying because Otis was her friend. And so I've got to share with her a lot, and she was opening up this last year. We bonded. Not too many people come at 5 in the morning on Saturdays out there. But it's a time to ask her. She came in crying one day, and I thought, God, what do I do? And so I prayed. I asked her if I could pray with her, and she said yes. And so we're right at that point now. And so just pray that I'll be bold enough. I've got your son John's book I'm going to give her because she does Bible studies in prisons and stuff. But I don't know if she's a Christian, but I'm going to find out. But it's a blessing to be there.
Amen. That's exciting. In all walks of life, 5 o'clock in the morning in the exercise room. Praise God. That's great. Good. Anybody else? Don't want to cut it off? If God's at work, I see another hand over here. Down here.
I'll make it real short because this could be really long. Being it's about the exchange program and, you know, the little check that we got in the package. Well, now, I don't know if the fellow threw it away or not, but we're over at St. Mary's right now. My brother-in-law had a massive stroke this week. Please pray for him. He's a pastor for 30 years at Faith Baptist in Linden. So that's a whole nother discussion. But on our way out from St. Mary's at 6 o'clock on a Friday night, well, anybody that knows that area, you don't really want to be out and about. But we were heading out to our car, and the Lord keeps giving us parking spots right in front of the hospital, so we just have to walk up a little bit. And I always kind of watch out, because Leo and I can't run anymore. I could never run, but neither one of us are running anymore. So I kind of watch out, look around, and we're getting in the car, and I'm in, and I shut my car door, and he's still getting in. And all of a sudden, there's a man standing there, and he's probably in his 20s, and maybe, and he's got a hood on, and he's saying, excuse me, and I guess he told you his name. And he said, I'm a homeless veteran. Could you give me some money? And so Leo spoke honestly. He said, I'm a veteran, too, and I don't have any money. But in my purse, when I go to get money, I can never, I'm forever trying to find it. And I opened my purse, and this little hand was holding up some money. It's like the money was right there. And I grabbed the track, and the biggest track in there was right next to the money, and it was the exchange track. So, no, I didn't have time to build a relationship. I didn't really want to hang around there. And we gave him the track, and Leo handed it to him, and he said, now read this. And as the fellow, he thanked us. And he had tears in his eyes when he was asking. I was watching him. I wasn't afraid. I had no fear. And isn't that another program? They have no fear, sharing the gospel without fear. So as he walked away, he had his head bent over. He was reading it, and he was walking back into the hospital. Hopefully, he was going in to get some food. So that's my first experience with the exchange. And I went home, and I got my other one out to see what I gave him, you know, to kind of go over it. And I'm like, oh, he's not going to know that story, and oh, he's not going to know that story. But it's God's word. And whether he kept it, whether he tossed it, whether he laid it down, I don't know. It's kind of one of those things I'm like, Lord, I care about that man. I might never know. Maybe we'll see him again because we'll be over there again this week. So I don't know. Pray for safety for us, but also for this adventure of being, this track is in that side of Saginaw.
That's exciting. We just never know what divine appointment will cross our path in any given day. I have a man who's attending church here when he's in town, and he's told me in May that he'll meet with me, but I don't have a date yet to start on the Bible study. So just pray that he'll give me a date and that we'll be able to do that. And then I had one other blessing this week. Our neighbors who had been next to us for years, and we had an opportunity to lead that man to Christ, they moved out into a condo, and so the house has been for sale for a while. So we've been praying specifically, Lord, direct in who comes into that house. And we just pray, give us just the neighbors you want us to have. And so this week, they moved in. And the guy's name's Chris, and just already this week had an opportunity. He walked over into my yard and introduced himself. I was out in the yard, and he came out and found out they have a one-year-old boy. He grew up Baptist, but hasn't been in church for years. And married to a Catholic girl. And he loves hunting and outdoor stuff. So we had lots to talk about. And I showed you this morning, his tree fell on my tree. And so he asked permission to cut that branch off. And so, but it was a big old branch. And so I have a chainsaw I inherited from my aunt that we take up the cabin. So pulled that thing out and I thought, I wonder if this thing will start. You know, I haven't started it in a while. But sure enough, it started. So I got to go out there and help him. We cut that branch off. So a relationship is developing. So pray for Chris, our neighbor, young married guy. That I told him some of the guys in our church go out skeet shooting. And he said he'd love to do that sometime. So just looking for common ground and some areas of interest that we can build a relationship. And so pray for Chris. And I don't believe it's by accident that they moved into that house. And so we're praying for more divine appointments that God will orchestrate. Okay? Well, to prepare our hearts, let's look at John chapter 4 tonight. And I want to take a little outline that we looked at with the deacons on Monday. We're going through with the deacons a book called Disciplines of a Godly Man. And I'm kind of adapting some of those thoughts tonight using a little outline from a chapter that we discussed on the discipline of ministry. And I'd like to just have you think with me from the book of John, John chapter 4, about Jesus being our example of a ministering heart and how looking to his example will encourage us to have a ministering heart. And Hughes pointed out right at the beginning of this little chapter that we discussed with the deacons that we all, once we accept Christ as Savior, we kind of have a choice of two ways we can live our lives. And that is, we can cultivate a small heart. That is, it's the safest way to live. What you do is you just kind of isolate yourself from other people. You don't have to carry a lot of other people's concerns. You can kind of dodge a lot of the troubles of other people. You pretty much are just caught up in yourself. And so you don't get into entangling relationships. You don't give yourself away. Bottom line is you can choose to have a small heart, only concerned with my own problems. But then, of course, he suggested there is another way, the way God encourages us. And that is to encourage a large heart, to encourage a ministering heart, a heart that will be open to the hurts of other people, to the needs of other people, as was mentioned tonight, to visualize people who are not yet saved as having spiritual chains about them, that they're bound by Satan and they're in spiritual bondage. Now, this way of living calls you to be vulnerable. It calls you to seek God's love in your heart for others. And, of course, the effects are very, very different. The one heart is a very shriveled, small heart. It's very small and makes very little impact for Christ. It makes very little impact for eternity. He suggested that if you never get out there on the ball field and play ball, then you never make an error, but you never hit a home run. And if you never learn to play an instrument, you never squeak, you never squawk, you never fail, but you never get to be part of a band or an orchestra and make beautiful music. I remember telling God, okay, I'm willing for you to stretch my little heart. Use me how you want to. And God called us out to Denver, Colorado to be a youth pastor. Now, I grew up right here in the flat land of mid-Michigan, okay? It's flat around here. Where did God call us? Well, our first ministry was in the mountains of Colorado. It involved backpacking up in the mountains. It involved all kinds of things that I hadn't done. I've been out in the woods a little bit, but I hadn't been up in the mountains, hadn't been skiing, hadn't been doing a lot of the things that all of a sudden were out of my comfort zone. But I said, okay, God, I'm willing. I'm willing to do whatever you want. The key is building relationships. And so some of those teens out there, they've grown up. And they've grown up with that. And matter of fact, the youth pastor before me, wonderful guy, Chuck Crabtree, he grew up out there. I mean, he was a natural. He just loved all that stuff and he had it down pat. And there couldn't help but be a little bit of comparison. you know, this guy was this way. This guy, man, he is green and he is just learning. And we had our ups and downs, and it was a challenge. It was a stretch for me. It pulled me out of my comfort zone. And yet God was faithful. And I've shared with you, some of you before, of God stretched us. We ended up on a mountain one time where we got snowed in on a snow camp. And it could have turned into a disaster, but God was gracious and took care of us and spared us. And out of that time, many of you remember Dave Buckley. He was up there on that snow camp, surrendered his life for ministry. We saw young people surrender their lives to God, go to the mission field, go into the pastorate, go on to be faithful lay people working in churches. And so you look back and you just realize that when you make yourself vulnerable, it's not you, because out of your weakness, God shows himself strong. But you have to be willing to be vulnerable to be used of God. Well, here are three things that came in this little outline. A ministering heart in life is, number one, a disciplined heart. It's disciplined to work. It's disciplined to labor. In John 4, where you've turned, you remember when Jesus came to meet with the woman at the well. We read in verse 6 of John 4, if you'll follow along. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour. We discussed this week with our deacons, that Jesus had just been very busy in ministry. And he'd been in Judea, and now he headed north up into Galilee. And as he arrives about noontime, he's been walking for many, many miles. And he's tired. He's not just tired physically, he's tired emotionally, because he's been in a place where he was surrounded with people. Now, those of you who teach all day long in a classroom, or those of you who work with people, you know, some people think you just get up and that stuff just flows out of you. No, you study and you work. And then when you give out and give out and give out, it takes physical stamina and it takes emotional energy. All of you know that if you work with people at all. So Jesus was worn out physically. Remember, he was human. He was perfect. He was sinless, but he was human. He got tired. He cried. He wept. He laughed. He bled. He was human. And he was tired. So here he is being wearied. He was tuckered out. He sits there on this well, sends the disciples into the city to get some food. He's exhausted physically and emotionally. And now there comes a woman to the well. Now, it would have been very easy, humanly speaking, to say, you know, I have been giving and giving and giving. It's just time for me to take care of me. And there are some times you need to take care. You need to come apart and rest a while. Jesus also taught that. But being led of the Spirit, he was prompted by the Spirit. Remember, Jesus was God, but he humbled himself and he became, on this earth, a Spirit-filled man. He walked in the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. The Bible tells us the Spirit led him into the wilderness where he was tempted. And then he came back filled with the Spirit. He was a Spirit-filled man, even as he was yet fully God. But he was an example for us of a Spirit-filled life. And clearly, there was the prompting within his own being to reach out, even though he was tired. And he had a discipline of labor. I like, Chuck, what you said last week. You said, well, I go on flights a lot, and I'm challenged to be a fisherman, fisher of men. Now I'm going to be a fly fisherman. And when I get on a plane, I'm going to work at being intentional about I'm available to talk to people. I'm not going to force it on people, but I'm going to look for opportunities. I'm going to knock on that door and see if they're open to talk. And, you know, I find they take their earbuds out when the refreshments come by. And so that's the time to start the conversation. At least that's worked for me. But that whole concept of wherever I am, I'm going to be looking for opportunities. Co-workers, people I sit next to, people I work out with. I'm going to be looking to build friendships with people for Christ's sake. Hughes pointed out the well-known quote, you've heard it, that the world is run by tired people. The world is run by tired politicians, the ones who really work at it and care. tired teachers, tired diplomats, tired moms and dads, tired neighbors and coaches and workers. A ministering heart is a working heart. It's a people who are willing to get in and get involved, even knowing it's going to require some sacrifice on my part. And there's probably some things on my to-do list that aren't going to get done today, but they're not quite as important as the souls of people around me. And I'm willing to make the soul of the person who comes across my path a priority. That was Jesus's heart. Paul spoke about it. He talked about how he labored and he toiled, even went without sleep. Yeah, I know there's some of you right here. That's true. There's just times you don't get a lot of sleep because you so give yourself to others. Well, the Apostle Paul lived that kind of life. In Philippians 2:20, Paul spoke about Timothy and he said he was a man who had a compassion for others. And Paul said, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your affairs. In other words, Paul was saying, you know, it's the minority, even of Christians, who are really, really others-oriented. But isn't that the way we ought to be? God, give me a ministering heart that I'd be willing to work and labor at ministering to others. The second thing is a disciplined to reach out heart. A ministering heart is disciplined to reach out. Look at John 4:7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, who initiated the conversation? Jesus did. Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now, you remember the background of the story. The Samaritans and the Jews were two polarized groups. They did not like each other. The Samaritans were made up of people who were Jewish and Gentile mixed races. The Jewish people had maintained racial purity and only married Jews. So they kind of looked down on the Samaritans. And the one group, they worshiped the Jews in Jerusalem. The other group, they worshiped at Gerizim in Samaria, and they only believed the first five books of the Old Testament. So there were some belief differences, there were cultural differences, there were racial differences. And so, as Hughes put it in his book, Jesus was willing, quote, to cross difficult relational barriers to reach out to others. What an example he is to us. Now, remember the background again. Jewish rabbis, not scripturally based here, but had taught that it was wrong to even eat with a Samaritan. And it was wrong for a man to talk to a woman in public. One commentator pointed out that perhaps there was even a ceremonial defilement to drink from the woman's drinking cup. But notice that Jesus was very intentional in his commitment to reach out to people from all different backgrounds. That whatever the race, the economic background, he just loved people. And he made it a point to open up conversations and to be the one that would initiate it, to be the one who would be friendly and start to build the bridge and the friendship and the relationship, to cross the barriers, to speak the truth in love. He never compromised the truth, but he spoke the truth in love. So Jesus fits well with the goal that many of us are trying to emulate. And that is passing the baton of faith by knowing and showing Christ, showing his heart, showing his ministering heart, resolving to direct every conversation I possibly can to the theme of themes. Learn of that soul's need. That means I got to listen. I got to get to know that person. And if possible, to meet it. What a great goal. Now, the last truth, disciplined to labor. I'm going to sacrifice and work. Discipline to reach out. I'm not going to wait for others. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit be my prompter, and I'm looking for opportunities. Number three, disciplined in perspective. Disciplined in perspective. Look at verse 4. And he must needs go through Samaria. Again, we read in the Bible that Jesus was a spirit-filled man. He was led of the Spirit. And so here is this leading of the Holy Spirit in his life, as we need to have the Holy Spirit lead us in our lives. Each day when we get up, we need to get in the Word and prayer and say, Lord, I'm reporting for service. I'm available. I can't save or change anybody, but you can. And I'm available. Take my life. Fill me. Control me. I surrender to you, Lord. Use me as you see fit. It's not all about me. It's about you. We're following Christ's example when we live that way. Now, when we live that way, we can live in faith. That is, we need to recognize the people who are crossing our path daily are not accidents, they're divine appointments. God is orchestrating the little things on earth. He knows about the hairs of our head and the sparrow that falls, and He certainly knows about the people that are going to come across our path every day. And so, think about the Good Samaritan. He's coming down the path and here's a beaten man. And the scribe and the Pharisee and the religious guys of the Jewish clan, they see this guy in the dirt and say, man, this is a hindrance. Let's get away and around this thing as quick as we can. And the Samaritan, who is of the racial divide, there's a lot of antipathy between Jews and Samaritans. The man beaten up is a Jew. So he's got every excuse, more so than the other guys who were Jewish, who went around. And he looks at the person in need who crosses his path and says, here's a divine appointment. And he reaches out and he helps him. And he's recorded in Scripture today as an illustration of the man who really is the neighbor to his friend. That is, the person in need is my neighbor. And I need to be meeting the needs of those who cross my path. So as we're praying and looking to God to work, God will work. He will work in our lives. And I am so encouraged to see the testimonies that we've already heard tonight. And I hope it'll encourage you that as you pray, we can claim the promise of Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man, a good woman, a believer in God and Christ are ordered by the Lord. And He delights in His way. God wants to direct my steps and yours every day. He just wants to direct our steps. The people who are going to cross your path this week are not accidents. They're potential divine appointments. And so let's say to God tonight as we come for communion, we do this in remembrance of Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your heart. A heart disciplined to labor, disciplined to reach out, and disciplined in perspective of seeing the big picture that souls are what really matter. Lord, give me that kind of a heart. Give me that kind of a heart. And I believe we'll all find that as we pray that way, there's a wonderful verse in Psalm 119 that says this, Lord, enlarge our hearts. Enlarge our hearts. And so literally the psalmist was saying, I don't want a little heart. I want a big heart. I want a heart like God's. My heart's little, but God, make it big. That's the prayer I believe God would have us to pray tonight as we prepare our hearts for the communion. It's, Lord, your heart is infinitely big. Look what you did for me. Look what you did for me. And Lord, let this little heart of mine start to grow and grow and grow and get bigger with a capacity to labor, a capacity to reach out, a capacity to have a divine perspective. Give me your heart, Lord. Let that be our prayer. And I believe we'll find this, and I'm experiencing this right now, that list of five is going to get real hard to keep down to five. Because as you pray, God will answer prayer. He'll start bringing people into your life. And you won't necessarily be having 10 Bible studies. You may be having one. But your list of people you're praying for by name will begin to grow as you pray and are faithful with the ones God gives you. Maybe it's one or two at the beginning. That list is going to begin to grow. And I just added a new one on my list with Chris. He just is number 11 on my list. I just added him on my list this week. God brought him across my path. And God's going to do that for you. And He's going to bring people on your list, and He's going to put them in your heart. And as our hearts enlarge, God's going to work in us and through us for His glory. And so let's trust Him to do that. Shall we bow for prayer right now? What a wonderful thing. Most of us here tonight would name the name of Jesus. And We know this table is for believers, for born-again believers, but we're just glad you're here. If you've not accepted Christ, that would be God's invitation to you to see the symbolism in the broken bread, Christ's body broken on the cross, his blood shed, that he is the one sacrifice that can remove your sin. And I would urge you, if you've never repented and trusted Christ, to do that tonight. Do that right there in your seat. Call on the Lord. Trust him. Confess him openly as your Savior. For we who are believers, we're told to come in a worthy manner. And that means we do need to ask God to forgive us of any sin of omission or commission in our life. Oftentimes, I know in my life, I have let people walk by. And I've been like the Pharisee and the scribe. I've crossed paths with needy people, but I have not seen them as needy people. I haven't seen them as people in chains. I've been so caught up in my own things, and that's my natural bent daily, except the Holy Spirit opened my eyes. But let's ask God to forgive us for the times that we failed to have a big heart like God, for the times we've had a small heart. Let's ask him to cleanse us. If there's any known sin in our life, let's just confess it. We know what the Bible says. Confess it, forsake it. He's gracious, willing to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness.